Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
Sherman Alexie is a celebrated fiction writer. He's also a Spokane Indian with strong opinions about what it means to be a real Indian. It's a question that keeps popping up in his short stories. Steve Folson asked Alexie to read an excerpt from one story, The Search Engine. It's about a young Indian woman who's gone off to college.
Corliss didn't want to live with a white roommate either, no matter how interesting he or she might become. Hell, even if Emily Dickinson were resurrected and had her reclusive hermit unrequited love addict gene removed from her DNA, Corliss wouldn't have wanted to room with her. White people, no matter how smart, were too romantic about Indians. White people looked at the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, the full moon, newborn babies, and Indians with the same goofy sentimentalism. Being a smart Indian, Corliss had always taken advantage of this romanticism, but that didn't mean she wanted to share the refrigerator with it. If white folks assumed she was serene and spiritual and wise simply because she was an Indian and thought she was special based on those mistaken assumptions, then Corliss saw no reason to contradict them. The world is a competitive place, and a poor Indian girl needs all the advantages she can get. So if George W. Bush, a man who possessed no remarkable distinctions other than being the son of a former U.S. president, could also become president, then Corliss figured she could certainly benefit from positive ethnic stereotypes and not feel any guilt about it. If she lived with a white person, Corliss knew she'd quickly be seen as ordinary because she was ordinary. It's tough to share a bathroom with an Indian and continue to romanticize her. If word got around that Corliss was ordinary, even boring, she feared she'd lose her power and magic. She knew there would come a day when white folks finally understood that Indians are every bit as relentlessly boring, selfish, and smelly as they are. And that would be a wonderful day for human rights, but a terrible day for Corliss.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you really have it out for white people, white liberals who like Indians. That keeps coming up in a lot of these stories.
Oh, I have it out for everybody. You know, I made fun of George W. in that paragraph. I made fun of liberals. I made fun of Indians. No, I have it out. Everybody's ridiculous. I'm misanthropic.
But in particular, it seems like some of the ideas that Indians are especially spiritual or that they're close to the earth.
Well,
I mean, all of those.
Yeah, the idea that we're special is ridiculous. You know, the whole New Age movement is based on as many stereotypes as genocide was. So it's just, you know, two sides of the same coin. I just think it's funny. You know, when these New Agers show up on the res looking for a highly traditional and sacred Indian man, and you wouldn't believe how many Indian men suddenly become highly sacred and traditional.
So there are plenty of Indians on the res who want to play that role.
Yeah, who, you know, become highly sacred and traditional in the presence of highly attractive German women. So Indian guys with one tooth, you know, becoming shaman. They start flossing that thing. It shines. But we're all that way. I mean, we're all human beings. We're certainly going to take advantage of the opportunities presented us. And Indians get those opportunities. And, you know, what's so wrong with that? I mean, we've been, you know, abused and genocided and oppressed and lied to and distorted and destroyed for centuries. So if you know, some Indian man or woman gets laid now and again because they're Indian. So, you know, it's still not even. It's still like, you know, 8 million to 1.
That's fiction writer Sherman Alexie talking with Steve Paulson. Alexie read an excerpt from his book, 10 Little Indians.